Hello, you're listening to the Black Country Talking News, and this week's edition is for the 27th of October, 2021.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sightloss charity, Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, Alexa, play Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Calling 01902 213 210. Visiting our website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news. As a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by simply searching Beacon Black Country Talking News and hitting the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. And reading this week, we have myself, Rob, Mina, Craig, Helen, Pete, Terry, Simon, Angela, Christine, Ed, Colin, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country. We have the quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Halloween-themed Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, a 10-minute exercise routine, the weather, Craig's Black Country Joke Book, information about Beacon's 2022 diary sale, and rounding all that off, we get to hear Colin regale for us a tale about a famous author. But first, we start with a reminder. On the 31st of October, this coming Sunday, British summertime ends, and clocks are put back 1 hour. So don't forget, make sure you put back any clocks that do not automatically adjust 1 hour this coming weekend. Now we have our Guess the Sound quiz. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. We start, as always then, with some local news, brought to us by myself Rob, Angela, Ed, and first up, it's Christine.
The West Midlands has been handed £1 billion in government funding for new transport schemes. The cash will go towards new train stations, rail lines, road schemes and tram tracks under the West Midlands Combined Authorities plans to boost transport across the region. The funding will be confirmed by Chancellor Rishi Sunak as part of a £6.9 billion local transport revolution to level up communities across the country. He said, "This transport revolution will help redress that imbalance as we modernise our local transport networks so they are fit for our great cities and those people who live and work in them." Last month, the WMCA submitted a bid for £1.7 billion of government funding to keep the transport network moving into the future. The five-year plan, which will be backed by local contributions, will include a new railway station in Aldridge and further development of schemes including the Dudley Interchange and Tettenhall Railway Station. It also includes £20 million for the implementation of the long-awaited integrated contactless payment system for the region's public transport network. Transport Secretary Grant Shapps said modernising the transport network was at the heart of the levelling up agenda. This funding will serve as a catalyst for the regeneration of towns and cities by improving infrastructure and ensuring more people have better access to jobs and education, he added. Other areas receiving funding include Greater Manchester, £1.07 billion, and West Yorkshire, £830 million.
Opening up vaccination centres to 12 to 15-year-olds will be a key move in helping the region make up lost ground in its jab drive, MPs have said. Health chiefs were on Friday preparing to announce plans for walk-in vaccination centres across the Black Country to open up to youngsters ahead of half-term. It is part of a plan to ramp up the region's vaccination programme for the age group, which has fallen behind other parts of the country, according to figures released this week. It is understood the scheme could start as early as Saturday, with parents and eligible teenagers able to book vaccinations or turn up at walk-in centres. Plans are also in place for thousands of invitation letters to be sent out in households across the Black Country and the West Birmingham CCG area. Up to now, 12 to 15-year-olds have only been able to get the COVID jab in schools. Earlier this week, NHS England Chief Executive Amanda Pritchard said the National Booking Service would be opening up for young teenagers as part of plans to offer additional capacity for kids at existing vaccination centres. Dudley North MP Marco Longhi has backed the move. He said it is an important step. I think the data shows that we are behind the curve and this can certainly help us to make up lost ground. Wolverhampton North East MP Jane Stevenson said it was common sense to make the vaccine as accessible as possible to young people, providing there was enough capacity and supply. She added, "We have seen with the booster jabs that people are not being offered it as soon as they would have liked. So anything that can speed up the process is welcome. Vaccines should be as accessible as possible so that all of those who have the chance to take one can."
A bid for £200 million in government funding has been lodged in an effort to save hundreds of acres of greenbelt land from development. The West Midlands Combined Authority wants ministers to hand over the cash to remediate brownfield sites across the region for thousands of homes. The region's mayor, Andy Street, said he was convinced that there were enough old industrial sites available to meet the region's target of 215,000 homes over the next decade. He said that extra funding would help protect precious greenbelt sites, which could include many of those earmarked for housing in the controversial Black Country plan. The plan, which has met with a wave of opposition from residents, charities and politicians, would give over greenbelt sites for around 7,700 homes. It comes after the West Midlands was last week awarded up to £33 million from the government's Brownfield Housing Fund, which came on top of £51 million from the same fund last year. Mr Street said he hoped that £200 million bid would top up the amount of cash available for absolutely crucial brownfield remediation schemes. The mayor has commissioned an ongoing review into underused former industrial sites that is expected to report back before the end of the year. He said, "The review will be taken into account by the four councils as they come forward with their plan. We believe that more can be done on brownfield, so that the take from Greenbelt can be less, if any. One of the key issues is that despite all the sites we are working on at the moment, the assumption in the draft plan about what can be done on brownfield has gone up only by a tiny amount. To me, that doesn't add up, and I'm convinced that more can be done on brownfield."
NHS bosses in Wolverhampton have revealed staff are working around the clock to support refugees and asylum seekers who have been resettled in the city. Practice staff at Thornley Street Medical Centre had to register and care for 200 asylum seekers from across Europe, and at West Park Surgery, 50 refugees from Afghanistan have to be processed. Both practices have been working with healthcare visitors, midwives and social services to ensure all patients were registered and triaged within a few weeks. The revelation comes weeks after Wolverhampton Council leader Ian Brookfield complained the system was broken after the Britannia Hotel was commandeered for 200 asylum seekers. Some of the asylum seekers and refugees needed urgent medication and others needed urgent referrals initiated. And these were undertaken with the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust being forced to implement new processes. Dr Anna Stone, GP at Thornley Street Medical Centre, said staff had worked hard to ensure each refugee was given excellent primary health care. She said, "Thanks to the hard work of everyone across the system, we have managed to support and identify the healthcare needs of this vulnerable group. Many of them had complex healthcare needs, such as chronic health conditions, diabetes and mental health concerns, and some women also needed urgent maternity care. This work in collaboration meant we could deal with a significant volume of patients in a short time. She added, this was not an easy job, as between the residents they spoke 10 different languages, so we had to use translation clinics and telephone services. Our staff were amazing and worked tirelessly to complete the registrations. They pulled out all the stops and adopted new processes and systems to get this done. A huge thank you to everyone who took part.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen with your regular weekly roundup of all things Beacon. First up this week, how handy would £1,000 be in the run up to Christmas? I'll tell you, it'd make a massive difference to me. Well, if you sign up to the Wolves Lottery, you'll be in with a chance of winning that every single week. You'll also be supporting people's sight loss with a donation of 65 pence from every £1 played made to the Beacon Centre. It costs just £1 a week to enter, and you can find out more on our website, www.beaconvision.org/support-us/wolves-lottery. Now, on to some very exciting Beacon news. We are delighted to reveal that we've been shortlisted in three categories at the Black Country Chamber of Commerce Awards for 2021. That's the Exceptional Employee or Team Award, the Kindness in the Community Award, and the Large Business of the Year Award. We're so proud of the entire Beacon family who have pulled together to ensure we've been able to help people when they needed us the most this past year, and we're delighted that our efforts have been recognised. Good luck to all our fellow finalists as well. Now, do you attend any other community groups or events where you think people would like to find out more about sight loss? We're so pleased to let you know that our sight loss advisors are back out on the road giving talk about what it's like to have sight loss and how Beacon can help. If you're based in the Black Country or South Staffordshire and you'd like to find out how we can deliver a COVID-19 secure talk for your group, give us a call. The number's 01902 880 111. Next, would you like to join the Beacon family? We're looking for an employment officer on our Bridges project to help people with a disability to find employment, start training, or get into further education. It really is a chance to change someone's life. You can find out more and apply via our website, www.beaconvision.org/jobs. This post is funded through the European Social Fund and the National Lottery Community Fund. Lastly this week, it's time for our Meet the Team feature. And this week, we want to introduce you to Sophie. She's our Supporter Engagement Manager and helps everyone who wants to fundraise in aid of Beacon, whether it's an individual doing a sponsored run, a community group doing a collection, or a corporate looking for a charity partner. She says she loves her role as she gets to see the fantastic things that people do in aid of people with sight loss. If you have a fundraising idea, why not get in touch? Drop us a line on 01902 880 111 or email supporters@beaconvision.org. That's it for this week. Hopefully, I'll be back to speak to you all again soon. Bye for now.
Cheers for that update, Helen. Now we enter another block of local news. And kicking us off, we have Angela.
A Wolverhampton councillor falsely claimed a £10,000 business grant during the COVID pandemic for his wife, while the pizza restaurant she ran sat filthy and boarded up, a court heard. Harman Banger, who represents East Park on Wolverhampton Council, has been charged with fraud by false representation after it is alleged he fraudulently claimed that his wife's business, Pizza Plus in Bilston, was eligible for a small business grant of £10,000 in March 2020. His wife, Nina Kumari, is also charged with fraud by false representation. Banger, 40, and Kumari, 37, both of Bilston Road and Wolverhampton, appeared at Walsall Magistrates Court. Both deny the charges against them. Prosecutor Daniel Oscroft said Banger had been actively involved in helping businesses in his ward apply for grants and notified the council that a number of companies wished to make the claim, one of which being Pizza Plus, was owned by his wife. Mr. Oscroft told the court the claim was fraudulent from the outset. No premises licence had been paid for 4 years. The premises was visited in February-March 2020 and it was in a state of disrepair and boarded up. The premises were filthy and must have been unused for some significant time. It was in such a state of disrepair that no reasonable person would believe it was being used in March 2020. There was no evidence of recent trading. Small business grants were being handed out across the country by the government to help companies struggling during the coronavirus pandemic. Labour Councillor Banger stood down from his role as the city's economy cabinet member after the allegations emerged in June last year. He was arrested by West Midlands Police in June 2020 on suspicion of fraud offences and was released pending a full inquiry. He has also been administratively suspended from the Labour group in the city pending the outcome of an internal party investigation.
Leaders have heralded the opening of a new £32.5 million technology centre in the Black Country, and they say Dudley Hippodrome is the next missing piece to the puzzle. The Black Country and Marches Institute of Technology, run by Dudley College, officially launched on Thursday with a plaque unveiling at its home on Zoological Drive. It is one of the first higher education institutes of its type in the country, working hand in hand with local employers and universities to offer apprenticeships and courses to local young people. The building opened to students last month, with more than 2,000 learners set to be taught there by 2025. West Midlands Mayor Andy Street attended the launch and said, "I would describe this as an absolute bullseye for the Black Country. It will bring high-level technical training within reach to young people in the area, giving them skills they need for a job for life in growing sectors." There are plans in motion to transform the crumbling Dudley Hippodrome building on Castle Hill into a £25 million university park to further boost the borough's high education offering. But dozens of objections have been submitted to Dudley Council, fighting to keep the historic building as an entertainment venue. Chief Executive and Principal of Dudley College, which runs the Black Country and Marches Institute of Technology, Neil Thomas, said, "We've got to see what happens with the Hippodrome. Otherwise, there's two-thirds of a brilliant higher education site with the metro going through it, and then effectively an abandoned building, so it just seems right to use that space. I know there's a lot of passion around the Hippodrome, but it would be, in my opinion, the missing piece, finishing off a really impactful site to Dudley." The launch event saw dignitaries across the region, including the Minister for Higher Education, Michelle Donnellan, MP, in attendance. Education bosses say the facility will be a major boost to the region's economy.
Wetherspoons has ditched its plans for a museum in the Black Country, but more than doubled its investment in a hotel to £15 million. Last year, the giant pub chain had £7 million plans approved to renovate Wolverhampton's The Moon Under the Water on Lichfield Street, create a National Heritage Centre showcasing the company history, and open a hotel above the pub. However, the chain has insisted its aim to create a new hotel is still on, and has revised its plans to increase its size and grandeur, build a brand new roof on the entire building at the expense of the Heritage Centre. Bosses have promised that the development will now create 100 jobs instead of the original 50 announced last year. Wetherspoon spokesperson Eddie Gershon said, "Although the museum will be different to what was originally envisaged, the Moon Underwater will still be home to all Wetherspoon artefacts highlighting the company's history. The fact the company is investing £15 million on the project highlights our commitment to customers and Wolverhampton. The £15 million investment will act as a catalyst for investment in the city centre. The pub chain has bought the property next to the pub and will add an extra floor and roof to the Lichfield Street property, covering 8,000 square feet to the ground floor and 3,000 square feet over two levels at the rear of the Moon Under the Water. It will become one of the biggest Wetherspoons in the country."
National Express travel shops across the Black Country are set to be axed in response to changes to the way people buy tickets, the firm has announced. The Birmingham, Coventry, Walsall, West Bromwich and Dudley travel shops will all close on October the 29th. People are currently able to use the shops to buy and collect tickets, get travel information, access travel discounts, and for various other reasons. But National Express West Midlands said fewer people were visiting the shops due to a rise in online purchasing. The firm says it promises to increase the level of support given to customers online and over the phone. Customers unsure how they will get their timetables following the closure are urged to ask at the customer desk for support. A statement from National Express West Midlands said, "Over the past few years, the retail landscape on the high street has changed dramatically, with more and more people buying online or through mobile apps. This rate of change has accelerated during the pandemic. As a result of these changes, we will be increasing the level of support we give customers online, at our ticket agents via Payzone and on the telephone. But at the same time, we have taken the difficult decision to close our travel shops. A massive thank you goes out to everyone in the travel shop team who have gone above and beyond so many times over the years for our customers. The past 18 months have been especially challenging, but to successfully reopen, keeping both customers and each other safe has been nothing short of fantastic."
Nightclubs are tightening security as more women step forward to speak up about how fearful they are of their drinks being spiked. Police are looking into a report a woman was spiked by injection at a nightclub. A Birmingham-based university student also reported her drink being spiked. And a woman in Wolverhampton has said she never feels safe clubbing in the city centre. Michael Ansell, owner of Planet Nightclub in Wolverhampton, said he had beefed up security at his venue to try and make people feel more at ease. He said, "We have extra security, not just because of the spikings, but due to everything happening around women's safety. We're working closely with the West Midlands Police, especially as we had lots of reports where women were getting touched inappropriately at the club. We've had extra security to tackle antisocial behaviour too. Not just sexual assaults, but fighting too." Michael said he was very worried drink spiking could take place at his nightclub. "I'm definitely worried about it," he said. "I want people to be able to come in, have a great time and come back next week. I want everyone to be as safe as possible. I've even got an extra member of staff in walking the floor and I've made the door staff more aware. As far as I'm aware, no one has been spiked, but obviously we're bound to have in all the years we've been here." West Midlands Police revealed earlier this month that they have undercover officers working in bars and clubs in the city to keep an eye out for potential offenders. More uniformed officers are also out patrolling the street to watch out for trouble.
With another collection of questions to ponder over, up next we have Mina.
Hello and welcome to this week's Spooky Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. What was trick or treating called in medieval times? Question 2. How far back is Halloween thought to go? Question 3. Where did Dingy Jack supposedly live? Question 4. What is Halloween short for? Question 5. What colours are associated with Halloween? And finally, question 6. What is said that a child born on Halloween can do? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show. But for now, good luck.
Thanks for those questions, Mina. Up next, we have our next block of local news. And starting for us this time, we hear from Christine.
Half-term fun has got off to a slow start at the Crystal Leisure Centre in Stourbridge after staff arrived to find the leisure pool empty. The pool, complete with slides, a beach area, bubble seat, toddler slide and water feature, was left high and dry when the water drained away overnight. A statement on the centre's webpage said that a technical fault meant the pool would be closed on Saturday and Sunday, right at the start of the autumn half-term holiday for children. A spokeswoman for the leisure centre said she didn't know why the pool had drained. However, a member of the public who visited the leisure centre to find the pool devoid of water said staff told them a filter had been left out, causing the pool to drain. Staff also told customers the pool is being refilled with a hose, but that will take a long time, as disappointed kids were turned away from the centre.
Booking controversial comic Roy Chubby Brown to perform in Bilston was a mistake, Wolverhampton Council's top boss has admitted. Chief Executive Tim Johnson said the authority regretted putting on the show in the Town Hall on Thursday and said they will be working to avoid such situations in the future. But when asked if this meant Chubby Brown would be banned from performing in council-run venues in the future, Mr. Johnson said the decision would be ultimately made by elected members. The event sparked furore earlier this week, with protesters calling for it to be cancelled amid concerns over the comedian's material, which was branded racist, sexist and homophobic. In response, the council said it was proud of being a fair, diverse and inclusive organisation and said a review of the booking process would be carried out. In a video address to councillors and staff, Mr. Johnson said Chubby Brown, real name Royston Vasey, was not his cup of tea, but they were unable to cancel once the booking had been made. He said, "In the spirit of openness, I want to reflect on an unfortunate story you may have seen this week about the controversial comedian Roy Chubby Brown, who performed at Bilston Town Hall. The story was essentially about calls to cancel the show due to the nature of the content, compounded by the fact it had fallen during Black History Month. Whilst this is a really unfortunate issue, I nevertheless want to make it clear how seriously we take the concerns that have been raised, not just by the media, but also by various colleagues and stakeholders in our city. Although this act has a long history of performing in this city, we absolutely understand the concerns raised and recognise this sort of act polarises opinion, with many people finding it extremely offensive."
Taxi firms operating across the region are asking for understanding and patience from passengers during the autumn and winter months as widespread driver shortages across the industry impact the company. Veezu, which operates five regional brands including Go Cars, is looking for 4,000 additional driver partners across England and Wales to meet the current booking demand, which is expected to increase as the nights draw in and the weather becomes wetter and colder. During the coronavirus pandemic, thousands of registered taxi and private hire vehicles have left the industry or retired. During COVID, many authorities stopped processing applications and have only recently restarted the process. But it will take time to license sufficient driver partners to satisfy the high level of demand, and this is affecting all private hire operators in the UK. Robin Gibson, Regional Director of Go Cars, said, "Regrettably, passengers are having to wait longer than normal. We are taking all the steps we can to increase the number of licensed drivers to match the high demand of journeys by the public. Just like within the roll haulage industry, there is a nationwide shortage of licensed private hire drivers. We ask for patience as we partner with new and additional drivers to meet resurgent demands. This autumn and winter, we anticipate the demand for booking will surpass pre-COVID levels. There is good money to be made driving." Since lockdown restrictions eased and people began going about their daily lives again, the high demand for booking, coupled with calls about existing bookings, has seen tens of thousands of additional calls each week being received by several regional journey booking centres across the country. Subsequently, Go Cars is recruiting call advisors to help manage the expectations of those wanting to travel.
Council chiefs insist expansion plans for the Grand Theatre are still on track, despite the building next door being transformed into an apartment block. Bosses at Wolverhampton's iconic 127-year-old venue had planned to bulldoze the old post office next to it and replace it with a new arts park dubbed the Green Room under plans first unveiled in 2019. However, the site's owner has since transformed it into Shakespeare House, a block of one-bedroom luxury apartments available to rent at £825 per month. Wolverhampton Council earmarked the expansion of the ground as one of 11 projects for the city's £25 million Towns Fund cash. The authority said the Arts Park was still very much in its plans and that an offer to acquire the building was currently under consideration following talks with the freeholder. A spokesperson for the council said, "By working in partnership with the Grand Theatre, the council is supporting and progressing the theatre's cultural and creative development, with the ultimate aim to develop its green room proposal." The Towns Fund business case for the Arts Park provides funding to acquire the building known as 66 to 70 Lichfield Street through either a voluntary negotiated route or the use of statutory compulsory powers. The chosen route will determine the delivery programme. There are short-term use proposals that would utilise the existing fabric of the building with a longer-term programme to initiate the green room concept. The council's commercial consultants have held several meetings with the freeholders' representatives and an offer has been submitted to acquire the building, which is currently being considered.
A platform of more than 60 free workouts for NHS workers, which was created by a member of staff from a Midlands Clinical Research Network, has won an award. Doing Our Bit was created by Julie Davis, who is Deputy Chief Operating Officer of the NIHR Clinical Research Network, West Midlands. It has won her the Bevan Britten Award for Wellbeing at the prestigious Healthcare People Management Association Awards. The platform was created alongside fitness industry leaders Active IQ, Fibodo and Study Active. The most hotly contested category, with 42 entries, the Bevan Britten Award recognises organisations which can demonstrate how specific employee health, fitness or wellbeing initiatives are making a positive impact on staff satisfaction, motivation, health or productivity. The Healthcare People Management Association Awards judging panel said it was blown away by the innovation and commitment of Doing Our Bit and were keen to ensure that it could be sustained. They were also impressed by the vision, energy and strength of communication of the platform. Julie said, "I'm absolutely delighted to have Doing Our Bit recognised by the Healthcare People Management Association Awards in this way. And I'm particularly pleased that our success will remind people in the NHS about the opportunity offered to them by the platform." She added, "I would like to thank Active IQ, Fibodo and Study Active for all their encouragement and help, firstly in bringing Doing Our Bit to life and secondly in building and sustaining the platform. While it launched in lockdown, our aim is to continue building and growing Doing Our Bit into the future."
Up now, we hear from our sight loss advisor, Pete, who has a message for us.
Hello, to let you know that Beacon are now taking orders for new large print 2022 diaries. They come in different sizes, the smallest being an A6 pocket diary, right the way through to an A4 desk diary. Also, A3 portrait and landscape calendars are available too. So Beacon are now taking orders. If you would like your new 2022 diary or calendar for next year, give us a call on 01902 880 111 and ask for a sight loss advisor. That's 01902 880 111.
Thanks for that information, Pete. Now we have our final block of local news, brought to us by myself, Rob, Christine, Angela, and first up, we hear the voice of Ed.
A Taste of Canada has arrived in Wolverhampton as the first drive-through Tim Hortons in the West Midlands opened its doors. The restaurant, which has created 50 jobs, has become the first drive-through in the West Midlands, following on from the city centre store in Birmingham. Tim Hortons has also set up its national head office in Wensfield. The coffee and donut chain, named after the Canadian ice hockey player who founded the business in 1964, has set up the drive-through as part of an expansion of its restaurants across the country. Among those who have visited the restaurant before the grand opening are the Mayor of Wolverhampton, Councillor Greg Brackenbridge, who is also a councillor for Wensfield, where the restaurant is based. He said it was wonderful to see another global chain coming to Wolverhampton. We've got a lot of great diversity of stores opening at Bentley Bridge, and this just adds to it. I've been in and had a lovely breakfast and coffee, and I would encourage people to come down just for that. But it's also good for regeneration, and it was good to meet a lot of the people who have been employed here from the local area. For every area, we've been looking at regeneration and bringing jobs to the area, and places like this will help that. So it's great for the regeneration of the city. Chief Commercial Officer for the UK, Kevin Hydes, said the location had been appealing to the chain because of the population and what people had told them in terms of where they wanted to see the restaurant.
Parks, nature reserves, allotments and green spaces across Dudley have been celebrating after achieving an international quality mark. More than 40 parks and green spaces have been given Green Flag Awards, the international quality mark across the country, with several also getting accreditation as Green Heritage Sites and Community Awards. The Green Flag Awards scheme, which is celebrating its Silver Jubilee, recognises and rewards well-managed parks and green spaces, setting the benchmark standard for the management of green spaces across the United Kingdom and around the world. A range of different locations across the region have been given the award, with locations as diverse as the National Memorial Arboretum and the Lions of Great War in Smethwick, amongst those being acknowledged. In Dudley, Buffery Park, Hunting Tree Park, Mary Stevens Park, Priory Park and the Wren's Nest National Nature Reserve all achieved Green Flag status. Mary Stevens Park and Priory Park have also achieved the Green Heritage Site accreditation, supported by Historic England for the management of its historic features, and Abbey Road Allotment scored in the category of Community Award winners. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Public Realm, said, "Our parks and green spaces have played a vital part in ensuring our residents have a safe place to relax, exercise and meet friends and family safely. The news that so many of our parks and green spaces have achieved the Green Flag Award is testament to the hard work and dedication of our wonderful teams, friends groups and volunteers who have worked tirelessly."
Students at the City of Wolverhampton College were over the moon to be featured on TV during a feature on BBC's The One Show. Pupils on a new electric vehicle and green technologies course were interviewed on the popular primetime show during a story on electric cars. The group were filmed in the college's new electric vehicle workshop at the Wellington Road campus in Bilston, talking to presenter Joe Crowley about the skills they are learning and the reasons they signed up for the course. Louise Fall, Vice Principal of Student Engagement at the college, said, "We are thrilled that The One Show selected City of Wolverhampton College, and in particular our students, to showcase their achievement on our electric vehicle and green technologies courses. Students are valuing these sector-based work academy programmes developed in partnership with West Midlands Combined Authority, as it's supporting them to get into a career in a developing sector. Feedback from students show that having a guaranteed interview with an industry employer at the end of the course is a real incentive to train. The new courses have been designed to support people into careers in the developing green technologies sector, with qualifications available at beginner to advanced level. The 3 to 4 week courses are free to attend and suitable for unemployed people wanting to improve their employment prospects in the automotive industry, people working in the sector who want to upskill, and workers in different industries who want to retrain. Demand for these skills is high as sales of electric cars are skyrocketing amid climate change concerns and a looming ban on all new petrol and diesel cars in 2030.
Local knitters have been asked to help crochet or sew poppies for the celebrations of the centenary of Briley Hill War Memorial. The Grade 2 listed soldier statue is currently getting a £214,000 makeover, which should be finished in time for Remembrance Sunday. The Top Church training group have been busy knitting poppies but need more people to get involved. Karen Fielder from the group said, "Are there any budding knitters out there that would like to join in a challenge? We've been asked by the Briley Hill Heritage Action Zone team to knit, sew, crochet as many poppies as possible by the end of October to celebrate the centenary of the Briley Hill War Memorial. If you'd like to get involved or pick up a pattern, please drop into Harry's Cafe, Briley Hill High Street, every Friday, 11 a.m. throughout October. The renovation of the War Memorial is part of the £1.8 million Briley Hill High Street Heritage Action Zone, a government-funded grant programme run by Historic England. The War Memorial commemorates those who died during the First and Second World Wars and the Korean War, the Cyprus Emergency and the Malayan Emergency.
Now, with a bunch of Halloween-themed facts, you know who it is? We get to hear from Flashback Roger.
Hello everyone. Are you ready for Halloween and the clocks change on Saturday the 31st with an hour less in bed on Sunday? Anyway, get yourselves Halloween ready and have a listen to this week's offering. Now, did you know that? Trick-or-treating has existed since medieval times. Back then, it was known as guising in Scotland and Ireland. Young people dressed up in costumes and went door-to-door looking for food or money in exchange for songs, poems or other tricks they performed. Today, the tradition has morphed into children getting dressed up and asking for sweets. And Halloween is even older than Christianity itself, and dates back more than 2,000 years. It all started as a pre-Christian Celtic festival called Samhain, which means summer's end. Held around the 1st of November, the feast recognised the final day of the harvest and of the spirits crossing over, since they believed that the veil between the living and the spirit world was the thinnest at that time of year. People in Ireland, the United Kingdom and Northern France used to ward off ghosts by lighting sacrificial bonfires. Jack-o'-lanterns, or carving faces out of pumpkins and lighting them up, actually has its root in ancient Ireland, when turnips or potatoes were used. As the story goes, an Irish man named Stingy Jack tricked the devil, and therefore was not allowed into either heaven or hell. Heaven wouldn't have him because he'd made a pact with the devil, and hell didn't want to know because he'd tricked old Nick. So he spent his days roaming the earth carrying a lantern, and went by the name of Jack of the Lantern. Halloween is short for Hallows Eve or Hallows Evening, which was the evening before All Hallows or Hallowmass on November the 1st. In an effort to convert pagans, the Christian Church decided the Hallowmass or All Saints Day and All Souls Day should become sacred pagan holidays that fell on or around October the 31st. And interestingly, black and orange are typically associated with Halloween. Orange is a symbol of strength and endurance, and along with brown and gold stand for the harvest and the autumn. Black is typically a symbol of death and darkness, and acts as a reminder that Halloween once was a festival that marked the boundaries between life and death. And it is said that a child born on Halloween can talk to the spirits. And if you want to see a witch at midnight, you need to wear your clothes on inside out and walk backwards too. If, however, you are determined to be ignored by the roaming spirits, then it's best to dress up like a ghoul or a spooky ghost. Well, I don't know what you make of that lot. Creepy? Eerie? Mysterious? I don't know. I know that I ain't been so scared as I was this morning when I looked in the mirror. So I'll nip off and hang up some garlic or some such to ward off the evil eye. I'll be back next week, of course, unless I ain't been turned into a frog. Bye for now. Keep lucky. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Now we have some football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
A
blistering first half performance saw Albion secure a convincing 3-0 win over Bristol City at the Hawthorns. In a match that was twice delayed due to medical emergencies in the stands, the Baggies comfortably swept aside Nigel Pearson's side. The game was delayed by 15 minutes before kick-off when an Albion fan collapsed in the stands and needed to receive medical treatment before being taken to hospital. In the first half that followed, Albion were outstanding, with Jordan Hugill putting them ahead before Kyle Bartley doubled their advantage. In truth, they should have scored more, with Hugill going close on three occasions, with the excellent Robert Snodgrass hitting the bar. During the interval, a Bristol City supporter was taken to hospital after also receiving treatment in the stands. But Albion went on to continue their dominance, when in-form Carlon Grant netting his sixth goal in as many games to secure a comfortable win for Valerian Ishmael's side. West Brom next take on Fulham, away at Craven Cottage, this Saturday. Wolves were denied four consecutive Premier League wins after a soft injury time penalty for Leeds United rescued a point for the hosts. Wang Hee-chan tapped home after 10 minutes to give the visitors the lead before Wolves sat back to protect what they had. Some chances came and went in the second half, but after a lull in the game, Leeds came back fighting towards the end with some huge opportunities. Only a superb save from Jose Sarr and some resolute defending denied Leeds an equaliser as the game entered injury time. But when substitute Joe Gelhart was brushed by Nelson Semedo in the box, referee Robert Jones pointed to the spot. Rodrigo then sent Sarr the wrong way to snatch a point. Speaking afterwards about the Leeds penalty, Bruno Lage said, "From my point of view, and I didn't see the situation on TV, but I think it was very soft for him to go to the floor. This is football. I don't want to discuss the decision." Wolves next take on Everton at the Molyneux this coming Monday.
Is jumper weather season firmly upon us? Well, with the weather, we get to hear from Mina.
The weather for this week ahead looks to be mostly wet and overcast, with temperatures hovering around 11 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:08 a.m. for the sunrise and 4:35 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 29th of October, we have light rain showers and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 14 degrees. On Saturday 30th of October through to Monday 1st of November, we have light rain showers and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 11 degrees. Moving on to Tuesday 2nd of November and Wednesday 3rd of November, we have light rain showers and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 10 degrees. And finally, on Thursday 4th of November, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 10 degrees. So that's your forecast for the week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Thanks for that, Mina. Sounds like I'm going to have to be keeping my raincoat handy. Up next, we have 10 Today. 10 Today is a series of 10-minute exercise sessions that can be done at home by anyone. New episodes will appear fortnightly.
Hello everyone, this is 10 Today, a 10-minute set of exercises to do at home to help keep yourself active. Before we get to today's presenter, a couple of housekeeping points to note. The 10 Today project is funded by the Big Lottery and Sport England, and when you're doing the exercises, it's important that you don't push yourself too far, and by taking part, you agree to 10 Today's terms and conditions. You can read these terms and conditions at tnflink.uk/10T, and the 10T is the digit 1, the digit 0, and the letter T. And please remember that you agree to take part at your own risk. Today's exercises are brought to you by Terry, and here he is.
Hello everyone, welcome to 10 Today, broadcast number 1. This is a short 10-minute physical activity routine which will get you moving and stretching. It's great for your health, including improving your balance and building up your strength. Just take it at your own pace. There are plenty of options. If an exercise feels too much, just take it easy and have a break. All the exercises can be done either stood up or sitting down, so just do whatever feels good for you today. We want you all to do this exercise safely. You are responsible for monitoring how you are feeling throughout the session. If you feel any discomfort or pain, for example, if you feel unwell or dizzy or experience palpitations, then please stop and seek medical advice. If remaining seated, at least to begin with, you should have your feet flat on the floor. It would be ideal if you can use a hard chair that you can sit upright in, which could be a dining chair, preferably without arms, which can get in the way of some exercises. Okay, if you are stood up, just step your feet hip-width apart, relax your shoulders, and stand up nice and tall, and take a couple of deep breaths. If you're sitting down, place both feet firmly on the floor, keep your back straight, relax your shoulders, and take a couple of deep breaths. In and out, in and out. So, the first exercise is called supporting the sky. Raise both arms together, straight up to the ceiling, with your palms up. Then turn your palms to face down and push down towards the ground. And again. So hands up and hands down and repeat. Remembering to push up with those palms supporting the sky and down. And now keep going. This is a really good exercise just to get those wrists moving, and it stretches the muscles in your arms and shoulders, which can often get a little tight. It's also just a nice, gentle warm-up. So we should have just a couple more now. So hands up, with your palms up, then palms down and hands down, and one more time, hands up and hands down. The next exercise is called dancing the rainbow. So you want to move your feet a little bit wider than hip width apart into a wide stance. One arm at a time, you raise your right arm straight up with your palm up and push down towards the ground. Now do the same with the left arm, up and down. And keep going, remembering to turn that palm down on the way down. Keep going, alternating your arms. This is a really good exercise for strengthening those shoulders and arms. Keep going, remembering to change those arms and facing that palm up to the ceiling when you press up, and then palm facing down when you press down. So, the next one is called kick the ball. If you're standing, I recommend you're near something that you can hold onto to help with balance. This could be an armchair, a kitchen chair, or a wall. Standing on your left leg, gently from the hip, swing your right leg forward, keeping it as straight as possible, and then swing it back to standing. So, swinging your right leg and keep repeating that action forward and back. If you are chair-based, straighten out your right leg in front of you, feeling that nice stretch down your leg, then return your foot to the floor and repeat on the same leg. So whether you're sitting or standing, you're just swinging your right leg forward and back, imagining there's a ball in front of you that you want to kick. Do this a couple more times. This is great for mobilizing your hips, stretching your leg, and improving your balance. Now, we're going to do exactly the same for the left leg. So gently swing your leg from the hip, forward and back. Forward and back, keeping that leg nice and straight. You might be starting to feel your heart rate go up a little now. That's great. It's perfectly normal, and it means you are building up your strength. And now a couple more times. We should all be feeling nice and warm now. Next up is the twister. So stand up or sit up tall and keep your back straight with your feet facing forward. Place your hands on your hips, relax in those shoulders, and twist your upper body to the right. Then twist back to the center and then to the other side. So just keep twisting your upper body from left to right, feeling that nice stretch in your side. and just keep going for a few more times. Good work. You definitely should be feeling warm now. The next one is called moving legs. Again, if you're standing, you might want to be near something you can hold on to for balance. This can be an armchair, a kitchen chair, or wall. So raise your right leg out straight in front of you, then move it out to the side so you can feel that nice stretch in the top of your leg. Then move it back to the center and back down. Repeat this with the left leg. So lift your leg up straight out in front, then move out to the side, then back straight and back down. So that's up, out to the side, back to the center and back down. And again, do that a few more times. This is really good for your hips, tummy and thighs. Slow and controlled is more challenging and rewarding. So keep going. Remember to keep that leg straight. Lift your leg up straight out in front, then move out to the side, then back straight to the center and back down. So up out straight, to the side, back straight to the center and back down. And a couple of more times. Now we have circle the sky. Raise both arms together straight up above your head and circle them in a small circle twice, using your shoulders to move too, and then push your arms down towards the ground. And again, raise your arms together straight up, circle them round twice and push down. So raise your arms up, circle one, two and push down. Again, this is a really good one for getting your shoulders moving and building up strength. Keep going, really moving those shoulders and arms. We should all be getting warm now. If you want to make it a little harder, move your shoulders in even bigger circles. So just a couple more here, lifting the arms up, circling twice and pushing down. And just one more, that's good. Next is going low. These exercises are slightly different if you are sitting or standing. So if you're standing, place your feet hip-width apart with your feet facing forward, bend at your knees slightly and try to keep your back straight, and then straighten up your legs again. Remember to keep your feet facing forward and try not to let your knees move in front of your toes. So you're just moving up and down by bending your legs, a little bit like a mini squat. The lower you go, the harder it will be. If you're sitting, just straighten out your right leg right in front of you, feeling a nice stretch down your leg, then return your foot to the floor and repeat on the other side. Whichever variation you're doing, you're working your legs. If you're standing, you are also working your bottom. Okay, so keep going, always remembering to keep your back straight. So for those standing, bending knees down and then straighten up. And sitting, raising alternate legs up and placing down. If you're standing, can you make it more challenging by going down slowly and holding at the bottom briefly? And just a few more. Next is butterfly wings. So this is a nice exercise where you're rolling your shoulders back. Bend your arms and place both hands on your shoulders and rotate your arms back in a circular motion so that you're rolling your shoulders, rolling both arms backwards at the same time. If this is a bit challenging, you can do one arm at a time. So keep moving, circling both arms back. This is great for the shoulders and the upper back. Keep moving. They can be quite energetic, these. Make the circle as wide as you can. Keep going, and just a couple more now. Now we have charging the fists. Whether you're standing or sitting, place your feet hip distance apart in a strong stance. Clench your fists, holding them at chest height, then punch out with your right hand and pull back, and repeat the punch with your left. Keep going, punching with alternate hands. It's a great stress buster, this. Really think about how your muscles are responding here, making the punches slow and controlled. Just a couple more now. Good job. Now we all really should be feeling warm. If you're a little out of breath, that's a good thing. It means you've been working. And if you're not a little out of breath, can you work a little harder next time? Well done. We're nearly finished. We'll just finish off with a nice stretch and cool down. So, we're going to start with a hamstring stretch. So, feet facing forward. Step forward with your right foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Keep the right leg straight. Then bend your left leg and put your hands on your hips and just lean your chest forward gently. Whether you're sitting or standing, you should feel a nice stretch down the back of the right leg. And now hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and finish. Then return to an upright position and swap your legs over. So keeping your feet facing forward, this time step forward with your left foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Keep this leg straight, then bend your right leg and just lean the chest forward gently. Again, feeling that nice long stretch at the back of the left leg. And hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and finish. And the final stretch, hugging a tree. Just hold your arms out in front of you, just like you are hugging a tree, directly in front of you. Your arms form a nice circle in front of you, and then cup your hands together, putting one hand in front of the other, and push your hands together, feeling that nice stretch across your shoulders and arms. And now hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and finish. Now sit up or stand up and return to that nice, relaxed posture we had at the beginning. Brilliant! So that was all the exercises. We hope you enjoyed them. Just to finish off, shaking out, just shake those arms and hands and then legs and feet. Great work, everyone. Doing 10 today just 3 times a week can have great health benefits. It's fun and you'll simply feel better. So do keep going. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for that, Terry. I feel really limbered up now. Now we have our joke book, brought to us by Craig.
Hello, I'm Craig, and I'm going to tell you some jokes from the Black Country joke book. Why do surgeons wear a mask when they do an operation? It's so they don't recognise them if they make a mess of it. Here's another one for you. I'm asking me mate in a grown-up pub if he knew what the word illegal meant. And he said to me, I don't know, is it some type of sick bird? And finally, I went to a cafe in Purton and a sign there said food at popular prices. So I asked for faggots and peas. That'll be 15 quid, said the owner. 15 quid, but the sign said food at popular prices. Well, the owner said, I like them. I'm Craig, and that was my Black Country joke book.
Cheers for those, Craig. Up next, we have the quiz answers, brought to us by Mina.
Hello, and here are your haunted answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. What was trick or treating called in medieval times? And the answer? Guising. Question 2. How far back is Halloween thought to go? And the answer? Over 2,000 years. Question 3. Where did Stingy Jack supposedly live? And the answer here is Ireland. Question 4. What is Halloween short for? And the answer is All Hallows Eve. Question 5. What colours are associated with Halloween? Of course, it's orange and black. Question 6. What is said that a child born on Halloween can do? And the answer here is talk to the spirits. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of someone beating an egg. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we hear from Colin, who regales for us when he once came to the assistance of the famous novelist Mickey Spillane.
I'm Colin. Once in a while, someone who knows me and happens to be in a patronising mood will ask me, as a very occasional writer, whether I have any particular claim to literary fame. Before answering the question, I tend to pause, mainly for dramatic effect, adopt a suitably quizzical look, which usually involves my squinting at the questioner as if to ask, me, literary fame? Well, let me tell you. I then take a deep breath and casually respond, I did once lend my pen to Mickey Spillane. Now, if you're as old as me, the name Mickey Spillane will hopefully ring a bell. For the rest of you, I can hear you asking, Mickey who? So, let me tell you something about the man. Mickey Spillane developed and perfected the private investigator genre. His novels were classified as thrillers, mysteries, or dramas, and he had a global following. He sold more than 200 million books. Not only was he a writer, he also portrayed his main characters in films and television shows. Despite being such a successful writer, he didn't receive many literary awards and was frequently criticised by literary experts. Born Frank Morrison Spillane in Brooklyn, New York, he later decided that he preferred to be called Mickey, mainly because he thought the ladies would like it better. He grew up in a tough neighbourhood and spent an enormous amount of time reading in the safety of his living room. He began his writing career at the age of 14, and later, while working as a journalist, he perfected his craft by writing for comic books like Batman, Superman, and Captain America. The day after Pearl Harbor, Spillane joined the Army Air Corps, where he trained cadets to become fighter pilots. After the war, as well as continuing to fly as a civil pilot, he spent short-term stints working in the circus and, surprisingly, the FBI. Elements of previous jobs and experience are found in some of his novels. His publishers were Fawcett Gold Medal Books, who specialised in publishing new original works in paperback. Spillane's style was a perfect fit for the company. His first novel, I, the Jury, which he wrote in 9 days, introduced readers to his famous crime-fighting fictional detective, Mike Hammer. At that time, there was nothing in print quite like it. The novel sold out quickly because readers were intrigued by this new style of writing. In the years that followed his debut novel, he wrote a string of other successful books. At one point, he took a 10-year break from writing, but returned with Day of the Guns, a book that introduced another main character, Tiger Man, who was a super spy, very similar to James Bond. Then, following yet another 10-year break, he wrote, of all things, a children's book entitled The Day the Sea Rolled Back, for which he received the Junior Literary Guild Award. But it was his particular innovative approach in developing the private investigator genre that gained him the lifelong title, The King of Pulp Fiction. So now, back to my story. The year of the vanishing Bic, as I like to call it, was, well, way back in the 1970s. Mr. Spillane was making a visit to the well-known Oxford Street department store, Selfridges, which at the time had an extensive book department, which sadly is no longer in evidence. He was there to sign copies of his latest bestseller. Well, for the life of me, I can't remember the title of the book. However, the image on the cover remains vividly engraved in my memory. It showed the then Mrs. Spillane, yes, really, displaying an enticing smile, together with a variety of her other charms. In short, the good lady was in the nude, or the raw, as Mr. Spillane would put it. At that time, prior to the type of material freely available today, the cover art of Mickey's novel was hot stuff, to say the least, and well worth the price of the book itself. From my scant knowledge of author signing sessions, I gathered that it was common practice for the author to be supplied with a pen with which to make his mark on or inside the book. On this occasion, Mr. Spillane was, horror of horrors, penless. Sizing up the opportunity to either get a free copy or at least a discount on my purchase, I quickly thrust my rather chipped and well-worn Mark I Woolworth, remember them, plastic biro under the erstwhile author's nose. Acknowledging the object with a curt, "This is a pen?" the great man then proceeded to scribble what looked like Marks and Spencers, but was in fact Mickey Spillane, right across his wife's buttocks. I never did read the book. I had the cover framed instead.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!